And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from the Cowichan Valley at Enrico Winery. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia and all 25 cities across the province, listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today, we're on location at Enrico Winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley on Vancouver Island. Our host is Lauren Inglis. He's the general manager of Enrico Winery. Lauren, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to have you back.
Thanks for hosting us today. Always a pleasure to be out here.
Yeah, well, we'd love seeing you out here.
Yeah. Well, Enrico is a special place for people who haven't visited the winery. It has a real vibe. I just love we're in the country, but it's kind of different than the Okanagan.
It is. It's a lot more relaxed, I think. It's a beautiful spot to be. Cowichan Valley is stunning to begin with, so yeah. It's a great spot.
You have a good thing going over here in the Cowichan.
Well, we like to think we've got a good thing going, that's for sure.
Okay, so why don't we tell people exactly where you are and when you're open and all that for the coming season.
Okay, so to start with, we're in Cowichan Valley, of course, and we're on Telegraph Road, right in just outside of Mill Bay, a little tiny bit.
Right.
Season right now, we're going to be mostly in April. Going into May, we're going to be just holding it just 3 days a week, and then after that, we're going to be opening up more summer season. Live music's going to start at the end of this month, so we're super excited about that. That'll be on Saturdays. We'll have our old musician back, which is going to be a lot of fun.
And you've got quite a nice setup here, plenty of room indoors, but you have quite a large outdoor space as well, with a pond and everything. So I imagine people spend most of their time outside.
People obviously spend a lot of time out there. Yeah, when it's nice weather, of course, then you've got the deck, you've got the patio overlooking the whole vineyard as well as the pond. And the weather permitting, that's where we set up the music as well.
Now, we've heard a lot about what's going on in the Okanagan on the show in the last month or so, damage, freeze, all that sort of stuff. None of that seems to be a problem over here.
It doesn't ever get cold over here, so there's no sense. There's not a lot going on here weather-wise. It's, spring's in the air, so a bud is beginning, so we're all excited about that for sure. Mm-hmm.
And you've got plenty of wine.
We do have a lot of wine. We had a pretty crop year in 2022, so yeah. There's a lot of wine in the cellar right now.
What was it about 22? Everybody had a lot of fruit around the province.
It was an anomaly that year, that's for sure. And the funny thing about 2022 is when it started out, everybody thought it was going to be a bad year, and it was exactly the opposite. So it was a big year, a big bumper year all the way across the province.
Yeah. Cowichan's a great place. We're going to talk later in the show about all the things that are going on. You wear many hats here now.
I do.
So we're going to talk about the festival coming up and that. But I thought I'd maybe just get a heads up on the two gentlemen we're going to interview that work for you.
Yep.
What should we know about them?
Well, we've got Simon coming in. Simon's now taking the spot over as being our head winemaker. And then we have a new employee by the name of Patrick. And Patrick Kaywood is from the Okanagan. And he's basically looking after the vineyard for us. Yeah. Two great employees, and they're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, people should stick around. Patrick was actually a big-time somm as well in downtown Vancouver, so I'm interested to see how he's made the transition.
Yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing, you have a lot of different grapes here. We're going to talk about it in depth, but what happens when people show up and they want to have this or that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of explaining going on when you come into Enrico Winery about the different wines that we have, of course, and we do. We have seven different varietals planted. We have some hybrid grapes, of course.
Yeah.
Fallbacks, the Pinot Gris, of course, the Pinot Noir, the Chardonnay, the Ortega. So there's a lot to drink and a lot to learn.
A lot to discover here.
Lots and lots to discover.
And I think we're sitting on land that was under the ocean at some point.
This is all glacial till coming all through here. So it's really unique place to come. Like I said, you have great experience with the wine, the atmosphere, and you learn a little bit about what's going on out there in the fields as well.
Yeah. Lauren, great to catch up with you. We're going to talk more on the show.
Excellent.
Thanks
it's always
for
our
having
pleasure.
Us.
Thank you.
Lauren Inglis, he's the general manager at Enrico Winery. We're coming to you live from there today in the beautiful Cowichan Valley. Up next, we'll speak with Enrico head winemaker Simon Spencer and vineyard manager and assistant winemaker Patrick Haywood. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more still to come from Enrico Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit IronGateAuctions.com to start bidding now.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, Marketing Manager at Visit Penticton. Did you know that Penticton has over 80 wineries within just a 20-minute drive? Joining me is Colin Ross, General Manager of Tightrope Winery and President of the Naramata Bench Wineries Association. Colin, what makes Penticton and the Naramata Bench such a great wine destination?
The soil and the climate have made the Naramata Bench one of Canada's premier wine regions. With a distinct terroir and welcoming community of quality-minded, award-winning vineyards, it's home to over 40 wineries, featuring incredible views, great dining experiences, and various events throughout the year.
What is the best way to visit the wineries?
You can rent a bike and cycle the KVR Trail to visit them. Spring is the perfect time for it, with beautiful weather and fewer crowds than summer. And yes, our wineries have plenty of wine and are ready to welcome you.
Amazing. Thanks, Colin. Sign your Penticton vacation now. For information on all our wineries, tasting rooms, and events, go to visitpenticton.com.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
One of the best things about drinking wine today is that inexpensive wine has never been better. Helping you to improve your wine knowledge and find great buys in the marketplace has been a lifelong goal of mine, because once you become a savvy shopper, you can influence retailers to start selling better wines at better prices. So learning just a little bit more about wine can improve the local selection in your neighborhood. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit us at GismondiOnWine.com to become a savvy shopper and drink better wine.
Now, back to our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape from Enrico Winery. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Today we're on location at Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Our next guests are Simon Spencer. He's the winemaker. Patrick Haywood, the assistant winemaker. They both work in the vineyard at Enrico Winery. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having us on there, Anthony.
It's great to have you. It's great to be in the Cowichan. I'm actually going to start with you, Patrick, because you're new here, relatively new. You've come from Naramata.
Came from Naramata, working at Daydreamer Wines at the far end of the bench there.
Yeah.
And then, I think as a lot of people here on the island came here for a girl and found Enrico.
I like the way you said that. For a moment there, I thought you were going to say Lauren, but that was good. That's good. Just a quick question. You came from Naramata, now you're on the island. How different is it for you to be working in those two different regions, really?
Oh, I think it's been a pretty amazing kind of thing to see both sides of the BC wine industry. I mean, the Okanagan is so much farther ahead with their vinifera varieties. But I think the Cowichan Valley here has something to say for, the wines that we can produce with the climate that we have here, and using some of the new hybrid varieties that are coming out.
Simon, let's tell people then, what is the ethos here? What, if they come here, what are the wines that they're going to see? What's happening here at the winemaking at Enrico?
Wines that we can really do well here on the island are sort of like the freshest styles, like the whites, the sparklings. I think that we can really kind of show our hand with those. The Pinot Gris, we've got Chardonnay planted now here, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
I would say right now that's the most exciting sort of thing for me right now, is the different styles that we can make from that variety.
Yeah. And acidity plays a big role in wines here on the island.
Yeah, we have no problem delivering that.
Does it scare people? Because sometimes I think, when you go to California, they're terrified of acidity. But what's the reaction here when they have these fresh wines?
Well, I think people have had enough of they've had decades of those kind of wines anyway. Yeah. And I think that the public are sort of looking out for sort of wines that aren't just been added, you know, with like a bunch of oak and stuff like that. So,
Simon, you touched on it a bit, though, but hybrids have become a part of the plantations here on the island, the vines. What is it about hybrids that consumers need to know or should think about?
Oh, I think with the hybrids, people just need to not be kind of afraid of the new varieties and some of the new names and styles that are coming with it. I mean, vinifera will always kind of be the mainstay for a lot of people, but I think it's just a lot of open-mindedness that people need to kind of try those new varieties and the new kind of styles that can come out of it.
But they're here for a reason, though. What are some of the advantages of, a hybrid over vinifera?
There definitely are a few advantages. I think the main ones that people have been looking for are on the agricultural side. So trying to limit the amount of kind of sprays that people need to use in the vineyards.
Yeah.
Again, if we can reduce the amount of sprays by even one or two applications, that's massive savings both for the winery themselves and for the environment. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to put less out there and leave it kind of as more up to Mother Nature.
That was Patrick Haywood. He's the assistant winemaker. Simon, let's talk about this wine, which I know very little about, Corvese, that you're making here at Enrico. What can you tell us about this wine?
So it's one of the newer Blattner varieties that's been planted. It's Cabernet Sauvignon Dominant. It was previously referred to as 83. I think a lot of
a charming number.
Well, it was just you know, we were fairly adamant to sort of asking Paul Troop, the guy that's actually responsible for this variety, that we need a better name than just 83. You know, it's a little bit too clinical. So he came up with Corvese, which is a play on named after his wife Corina, and then Sangiovese, which he
it's kind of the style of the wine, even though we talked about Cabernet, but really it does have that Sangiovese styling.
Yeah, so hence the name. So he felt comfortable, and then it went from 83 to be named Corvese, sort of in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And the winemaking is pretty straightforward, or how is it made?
Well, it was planted in 2017, so, you know, we don't have a ton of experience with it. Back in 2019, we did some whole bunch ferments on it. Mm-hmm. Didn't quite suit it. It was a little bit too tannic, a little bit too much structure there, and then since sort of 2020 onwards, sort of destemmed, pretty straightforward sort of like winemaking style.
Yeah.
And then, also kind of playing around too with the sort of the use of oak as well. Mm-hmm. So, the 21 might be, it's got a little bit of wood on there. So like in years to come, we might just sort of rein that back in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get a little bit of body from the wood, I would imagine, but mostly the wine is quite fresh and even in Sangiovese, I mean, they use old wood, so maybe that would be the answer, some neutral oak or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just kind of rein it in a bit and then maybe also look at maybe adding another couple of varieties in there, it could be like a sort of an 80% of a blend and then sort of make up the other 20 with sort of some other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Too. So, like I said, it's quite new for us, so it's just figuring out how to make it.
I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Patrick, let's talk a bit about the site. What can you tell people here if we were to go underground and have a look at what's going on here at the vineyard? So what's the magic here?
Yeah, the magic of this place, I think, is the kind of combinations. We have both some pretty deep gravels and clay beds on site. The Corvese itself really sits on a massive kind of gravel hill. So we get beautiful kind of free-draining soils, really don't have much of that kind of the bogginess or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, in some of the other spots, especially where kind of our Pinot Noir is, it's a little bit more clay-based. We're getting a little bit more of that kind of water retention for those more kind of delicate varieties. But we've been really finding that Corvese can really has stood up to most of the kind of climatic conditions we've had here so far.
Our guests are Simon Spencer. He's the head winemaker here at Enrico, Patrick Haywood, the assistant. They both work in the vineyard. You've had a lot of success with rosé. It actually, I saw this wine the first time at the National Wine Awards, where it really clobbered a bunch of people who never heard of it before. I thought it was such a great way to introduce a wine to the public. Can you tell us a bit about this wine, Simon?
Yeah, so this is the 2022 Rosé.
Yep.
It's 100% Pinot Noir. It's actually grown in the Cowichan Valley with a grow that we've been working with since 2016. And it kind of fluctuates from year to year depending on the vintage, whether yep. it goes into the red wine program or the Rosé. Yeah, so we try and keep the Rosé that we grow on site to go specifically into the red wine program. The 22 was a kind of a cooler summer, and then it was really saved by that sort of nice heat, dry period that we had in September into October. So it's 100% tank fermented, you know, so it's fresh Alina style, slightly off dry, bit of residual sugar on there.
Yeah. No, it's really well-balanced wine. Is it, do you bleed this wine or cold soak it? How do you get the color?
We looked into the records just a couple of hours ago, and there was 4 hours of skin contact on this, so it wasn't bled off. It was it was.
Somebody has to stay awake to pull the plug.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Lovely wine. Two very different style wines, and we don't have the Chardonnay in front of us, but I do want to talk about it a bit because obviously Chardonnay is one of the most prized varieties around the world, selling well everywhere. But I think there's something really special about Vancouver Island Chardonnay. What can you tell us about what you're growing here?
So the first block that we planted was in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't make any Chardonnay last year. Some of it's gone into the sparkling program. So hopefully this year we're going to be able to sort of make another Chardonnay as well. Mm-hmm. So whether it goes into a sparkling program or still wine, that's to be determined.
But
so
now, would you describe it as I hate to use the Burgundian word, but like on that style or the Oregon style or just the Vancouver Island style?
Probably sort of like a Alina Chablis style, I would say.
Yeah.
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 So I can see why it's very popular to grow because, you know, the production levels are sound. It's it grows really quite nicely. You know, it's no accident that it's proliferated the way that it has around the world. So and just the different styles that you can make with it too is quite handy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fun at this winery. I don't know how much fun it is to work here, but there's a lot of fun to visit here. I don't know if you guys get the chance to get wrapped up in that and meet some of the people who come and buy the wines, but
We can hear them.
We can hear them.
We're just
over the hill.
We can hear the parties from the vineyards. So,
yeah. That's kind of cool.
It is. Yeah. No. I've been here since 2014, and it's.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thanks very much for catching up with us today. It's been a pleasure to taste with you the Red Dragon, the Enrico Red Dragon, and the Corravese. You'll have to check this out, folks. Sangiovese-like red wine made from a hybrid who's had its name changed for the better.
I think so.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, great to catch up with you. Simon Spencer, he's the head winemaker. Patrick Haywood is the assistant winemaker from Enrico Winery, where we're on location today in the beautiful Cowichan Valley. Up next, more with Chris Turek. He's the director of marketing and sales, and Felix Enger is the viticulturalist at Unsworth Vineyards. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more still to come from Enrico Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Diora, the culmination of a more than 30-year vineyard-to-bottle journey in the Santa Lucia Highlands and the family-owned San Bernabe Estate in Monterey, California. Diora's fruit from their vineyard flourishes in the radiant Monterey midday sun, while refreshing breezes coax the complex flavors found in every drop. Diora, indulgence begins in the vineyard, now available at select liquor stores across BC. Find out more at diorawines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, tell us about Vancouver Island's incredible jewel, the Cowichan Valley.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Anthony. Cowichan is actually one of the larger wine regions in BC. It's home to 14 wineries, many of which are family-owned and operated. And it also has one of the longest histories of winemaking on Vancouver Island. dating back to the 1920s when loganberries were first used to make fruit wines. So the warm Mediterranean-like climate and the rich soil really create a unique terroir that has produced numerous award-winning wines here.
And Kenzie, I imagine now is a great time to get out and visit the many wineries in the area.
Yeah, that's right. Now's a great time. Many of Couchin's wineries can be visited year-round. What I would recommend doing is spending multiple days in the region and just enjoying the unhurried pace. And if you want to leave the planning to someone else, you can take a guided winery tour with one of our friendly tour operators. And beyond that, Couchin is also home to many breweries, cideries, and distilleries, so there's lots to explore for craft beverage lovers.
Yeah, and if you really want to make the most of it, why not plan a trip and take advantage of some of the already scheduled regional events?
Yes, absolutely. I would suggest planning a trip during the annual Couchin Valley Wine Festival. It happens every August, and it's just a wonderful way to experience the vineyards. You can sample a variety of incredible wines and meet our winemakers in person to have more of that personal experience.
And are there any other events coming up in the Couchin that would interest the wine, beer, or cider crowd?
There's a few to watch for. So in late June, Avril Creek Vineyard will host Noir Fest, which is a must-do event for any Pinot Noir lovers. And then in October, there's the annual Cider Harvest Festival at Marydale Cidery and Distillery, which brings in over 15 of BC's craft cideries. And then for the craft beer fans, there's the Couchin Craft Beer and Food Festival, which will be back in Chemainus this August, so definitely watch for that.
Kenzie, thanks so much for the many great ideas for visiting Couchin this year.
You're most welcome.
Plan your trip at tourismcouchin.com. Till next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey and buy BC. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or a special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein. Next time you're planning dinner, think about picking up some ground turkey, a breast roast, or turkey thighs to switch things up for your family. Find recipes, cooking tips, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca. This ad is supported by British Columbia's Buy BC Partnership Program.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape from Enrico Winery. Here's Anthony Gismondi. I'm just
Hello, British Columbia, and thanks for joining us today. We're on location at Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Joining us now from across the highway and just down the road are Chris Turek. He's the Director of Marketing and Sales, and Felix Egerer. He's the viticulturalist at Unsworth Vineyard. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here. Maybe we'll start with you, Chris. What's going on at Unsworth? There's digging holes, or what's happening?
You know, there's a little spray paint on the ground from the survey crews. Ground hasn't broken yet on
Not
the new winery,
yet.
But
yeah.
A few weeks away.
So there'll be some construction throughout the year this year,
sort of
in the back.
Yeah, hard hats for everybody on tour.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting development.
Very quickly, what are you doing?
Mostly just expanding the winery. Currently, it's all in one room. So what we're doing essentially is creating a specific barrel room for each of white wines and red wines.
Okay.
So that the wines and barrel can have a proper environment. Yeah.
So you finally got those barrels you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the more new oak, the better, right?
Yeah.
Gets you 5 more points with Mr. Parker.
Maybe. But he's gone, so.
That's right. Yeah.
Felix, we talked last time. You're new to the game at Unsworth, but not to growing grapes. You've come out of the Okanagan.
Yep.
Tantalus, I believe.
Exactly.
What can you tell us about this place versus where you've come from?
Very different.
Yeah.
Very different. Close to the ocean. I mean, we farm between, what's our closest, like 100 yards from the beach and a few kilometers. So very different climate, different growing altogether.
Yeah.
Have to unlearn and relearn everything.
Yeah.
Well, last year was a good year to do so. It's beautiful growing season out here.
Yeah. That's one thing we should make clear. There was no problem. A lot of people think there's a problem in British Columbia, but what's happened in the Okanagan and the Smokey did not happen on the island. You pretty much had a bumper crop in 22, and you've been normal since? more or less.
Yeah, well, as normal as the island gets.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a really moderate climate. Like Felix said, it's close to the ocean, so that moderates the climate quite a bit. So we got down to maybe minus eight, so nothing that would negatively affect the vine. So.
Your father started the winery. What would you say, is there anything different now that you're running around with the... Changing things? Well, how would you describe the new Unsworth?
Yes and no. You know, we were pretty wet behind the ears when we started, so you know, came at it with an open mind, and now we're kind of honing in on kind of what we've been doing all along, and that is to say, you know, hanging our hat on red Pinot Noir and sparkling.
Yeah.
And then Chardonnay has been kind of added to the fold naturally. Yeah, so just a refinement and a honing in on what we've always done.
Pretty high level wines, though. We're not talking about, you know, your everyday wines.
Yeah, I mean,
in terms of the Pinot and the Chardonnay.
Yeah, we do our best, and we're lucky enough that we found a suitable climate. My family's from Vancouver, Victoria, the island area in general. So you know, it's kind of serendipitous that it. That we struck the right time, the right place, the right varieties, yeah. The right people.
Well, we used to say it's hard to get the wines. Now we just say it's hard to get the wines. But you've done something about that. You've planted some vines. Maybe I'll talk to you about that, Felix. What's going on with the new property? What can you tell us?
We just finished up pruning last year's plantings. So a really good survival, over 99% by the looks of it. And are finishing up planting this year. We've got a few more acres going into the ground. Some Pinot, some Chard, and actually a little bit of Gamay and Pinot Gris to round it out. We'll end up at 40 acres total.
40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot of acres.
That's a lot of acres.
For a small winery. That's great.
Yeah.
Will you make use of all that fruit, Chris, or what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are my marching orders anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, We have a pretty robust direct-to-consumer business. Of course, the island is fiercely supportive of island wines, but we feel there's a lot of growth that can happen on the mainland, you know, in the lower mainland, but also in Alberta, because we can't sell direct-to-consumer there for the time being. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to be through wholesale. But
yeah. Although they seem to be able to sell direct to our consumers from their retail stores. I don't really understand that, but that's for another show. I wanted to talk to you today about some of the releases that are coming up. Three different single vineyard Pinot Noirs?
Yeah, that's what we harvested in 22. So they're just going into bottle. I mean, maybe even right now. The bottling truck has come down from the Okanagan, so they're bottling this week. Yeah, we're really excited. 22 was kind of a longer, cooler vintage. You know, especially compared to 23, but a lot of elegance, a lot of freshness in the wines. So we felt when going through all the barrels of all the separate clones and vineyards that there were some standouts. This is something we've been wanting to do for a while.
Yeah.
We've had the Saison Vineyard Pinot Noir since 2018 or so. So we're just kind of adding to that single vineyard portfolio, part of the natural progression. And we thought this was the year.
Winemakers always say that the winemaking is the same so that they can see the vineyards. But my question, Felix, are the vineyards the same so that we can see the winemaking?
Well, that's a good question for a viticulturist. We do the hard work, and the winemaker's job is not to mess it up. It's really nice. Like, looking at Saison, it's completely different soil, different exposure than the home estate, than Unsworth. So it's really nice to have different sites to work with in the cellar and to see different things as viticulturists, too. I go and visit Saison and have a chat with Frederic. And just, yeah, he grows phenomenal fruit for us. We're really lucky to get it.
So he gets a little guidance from you, but he's really running that property. He's done a great job growing those grapes. So you're happy with all that? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a phenomenal grower and baker, turns out.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Would he have any input with what you're doing at the estate property, or insight into what you're planting? Or?
Well, I think between him and especially Ingrid, that they have some input for sure. They were down the other day tasting through the barrels before they were blended for the bottling. The information sharing and the experience sharing is alive and well in this neck of the woods.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So we'll see those wines sooner than later then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You will first.
Absolutely.
You're the premier.
That'd be nice. The Jackson family that's involved in the winery, some of the family members and up at Blue Grouse at a sister winery, they're big on sustainability at the moment globally. They're kind of a leading force actually in the wine business, and you guys have jumped in a big way. Is it a good thing, Felix, to go down that route?
I think so. We put our money where our mouth is by participating, and not just in a consumer-facing side, but also peer-to-peer winery learning and really sharing experiences here that could help other wineries and vineyards around the world.
Mm-hmm. And what is sort of the key thing going on at the moment here? Like, what are some of the issues? I would imagine water's a bit of an issue.
Water is definitely an issue. Lack thereof, too much at the wrong time. And farming sites, we have a couple sites that don't have irrigation systems, and so really looking how we can preserve them and make sure the vines thrive even in summers with no precipitation like last year.
Mm-hmm. Is dry farming an issue for these kind of varieties? Or
I don't know if it's an issue. It's a challenge. It's becoming more of a challenge. Vineyards have been dry farmed on the island for a long time, and now things are just changing. Plants react differently to 35 degrees and no rain from June to September.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we're working on, definitely.
Yeah. You've always had fun. You've always had a well-respected restaurant. You have a new chef now. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Dan Bain joined us last year, and he's really really gone headfirst into the idea of cooking for wine, and more specifically our wines. So, you know, the fresh, bright flavors, a lot of fish. He works, of course, with all the local farms in the area. It's a really exciting, time. And
somebody told me that somebody told him he had to gear the food to the wines and not the other way around.
Yeah, well,
which really, makes my heart sort of beat fast, because I've always wondered why it's always been the other way around. Is it working out, or?
It's great. I mean, it's a unique straitjacket. We can't, once the wine's in bottle, I can't go find a Chardonnay with more oak influence or, higher alcohol or whatever.
Yeah.
The wines are the wines. So
but he can
the
squeeze some lemon or do something different.
Exactly. All the levers that he has in the kitchen can be adjusted to really highlight the food.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting straitjacket.
Okay. A lot of things are going on at the winery, some construction, but what's happening in terms of opening? When are you open? What's going on all year for visitors?
The tasting room itself is 7 days a week, 11 till 5, and then the restaurant will be Wednesday through Sunday, 11 till whenever, mm-hmm. 11 till 7, 8, whenever right. The last reservations are.
How would you describe the food at the restaurant? The people want to know what might be on the menu or...
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything. There's some, there's burgers, there's pizza, but there's also, halibut and kind of more refined upscale cuisine. So there's a little bit of everything, but local first.
Yeah. Great to catch up with you guys today.
Thanks for having us.
When the next time we meet, will there be a name for this vineyard or not?
You'd have to ask.
He's going
to
say not.
He's going to say it's above our pay grades.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got a lot of bosses now, eh?
Exactly.
You should just have a father. Now you got bosses like everywhere.
I've got to grow
it's
up.
It's all good. Yeah. You've had a good year, though. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to catch up.
I'd be happy to try those Pinots. What will that be, the fall? Or
I would think so, yeah. Probably in the fall.
Right on. Chris Turk, he's the Director of Marketing and Sales. Felix Egger is the Viticulturist at Unsworth Vineyard. Still to come, Lauren Inglis returns to talk about upcoming events involving food and wine at Enrico and across Vancouver Island this summer. But up next, Michael Abbott, General Manager of Blue Grouse Estate Winery, will join us on the radio across all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more still to come from Enrico Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey and buy BC. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or a special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein. Next time you're planning dinner, think about picking up some ground turkey, a breast roast, or turkey thighs to switch things up for your family. Find recipes, cooking tips, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca. This ad is supported by British Columbia's Buy BC Partnership Program.
Penticton may be known for its wine, but it's also a craft beer paradise. Get to know the Penticton beer scene at the Okanagan Festival April 12th and 13th at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. The Okanagan Festival has been bringing together craft beer lovers and craft brewers to celebrate the Almighty Ale since 1996. Enjoy the hospitality of one of the largest and longest running annual beer festivals in the Pacific Northwest. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Diora, the culmination of a more than 30-year vineyard-to-bottle journey in the Santa Lucia Highlands and the family-owned San Bernabe Estate in Monterey, California. Diora's fruit from their vineyard flourishes in the radiant Monterey midday sun, while refreshing breezes coax the complex flavors found in every drop. Diora, indulgence begins in the vineyard, now available at select liquor stores across BC. Find out more at diorawines.com.
Your next corporate event or retreat deserves the best. The Watermark Beach Resort. With conference spaces to host large or small gatherings, they can create your perfect event or gathering. Enjoy the culinary excellence of 15 Park Bistro, open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure to follow them on Instagram and Facebook at 15 Park Bistro for the latest updates on their brand new dinner series. To make a reservation or learn more about events at Watermark, just go to watermarkbeachresort.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape from Enrico Winery. Here's Anthony Gismondi. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room
without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happy. Hello, British Columbia. We're back in the Cowichan Valley on Vancouver Island, broadcasting from Enrico Winery. Our next guest is Michael Abbott. He's the general manager of nearby Blue Grouse Estate Winery. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Anthony. Pleasure to be here.
Last time I saw you, you were up to your knees in dirt.
Yeah.
Now that's you're true. Up to your knees in paperwork.
That's accurate, yeah.
Yeah. General manager.
Yep.
That's a nice step up.
Yeah, no, I've been with the company now for about 8 years and slowly progressing, so moved out of operations, and yeah.
So for people who don't know, how about a quick refresher on what's going on at Blue Grouse and what all these changes and what's happening?
Oh, yeah. So since my tenure, we started at less than 7 acres, and we're now over 70 acres under vine, focusing on Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and sparkling wine, which are two of those wines that I brought today. Mm-hmm. And more recently in 22, we were purchased by Jackson Family out of California. And so we had a change of ownership there, and we've been working with some pretty amazing team members since then.
Yeah. So they've opened up a few other avenues for Blue Grouse.
They definitely bring some expertise to the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about, as you say, 70 acres? Where are you going to sell all this wine? What's the plan? It's more than Vancouver Island can drink, I think.
Yeah, but you know, we're still 55% of our sales are targeted for Vancouver Island still.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great amount.
Very strong local following here on the island, and we love our customers, and they love us back.
So is there any thought about pushing out not to other countries rather than across Canada, or what will the plan be for the rest of it?
Other countries, very, very limited opportunity for us. We're looking more even just BC-wide. If needed, you know, we can carry on and maybe hit some of the big centers traveling east, but the journey south is a bit trickier than the journey east.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys have been more or less sustainable, or at least caring for the land for many years. So how is it going now? What's the latest in terms of your sustainability and your thoughts about that?
Yeah, we're just recently certified with Biosphere certification. That's a new cert that we've just added to the roster.
What does that mean for a consumer?
So it's not just focused on the farming. It focuses on our entire package, how we treat our people, how we treat the land, how we treat our farming, sort of a bigger picture perspective, so to say. Mm-hmm. And it's been a year's worth of work, and we have some commitments that go along with that, so some SDG goals that we're working towards, and keeps us on track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in terms of growing the grapes, what is the single best thing for growing the grapes in terms of sustainability, organics, I don't know, biodynamics? Well, where are you at with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Is there one single thing that's the best avenue for growing the grapes? I mean, understanding where you are, I would say, has the biggest influence on how you're going to farm. There's no single recipe that you can apply that you just, you know, carbon copy from one place to the other. You need to understand intimately where you are and what things need in order to not overuse any one thing.
Yeah. And the idea of the whole that you just explained earlier, I guess happy people is a great thing to for growing grapes and making wine, all that.
Yeah. And maybe that comes back to your business and your mottos and your visions. And at Blue Grouse, we stand behind the motto that everything we touch, we leave better than we found it.
Yeah.
And that goes to our people, our place, and our farming.
Mm. Okay, let's talk about the wines that you brought. I'm interested in this sparkling wine because I know that back in the day, Pedro Parra was here and planted a bit of area. I don't know whether it worked out or not, that area, but what can you tell us a bit about that or the evolution of it?
That is, that planting is definitely, it's happened. We planted that in 2017, and where we are is that's currently in Tirage. So okay. We won't be seeing the 2020 vintage, which was our first inaugural harvest off of that that vineyard block. Currently, we're on the 2018, and this is our blend of sort of the heritage blocks at Blue Grouse. So you got some Pinot Gris, Ortega, and Müller-Thurgau in that. Like I said, the future is Müller-Thurgau. It's Pinot Meunier, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Gris in those blends going forward, and some Chardonnay.
Wow. That's pretty nice, just the way it is, though.
Yeah, 3 years on Tirage, so yeah. It's a nice.
It's got nice autolytic characters, that creaminess in the wine as well, and it's made traditionally.
Correct. Yeah.
A lot of effort goes into making a sparkling wine.
Well, and this vintage would have been hand riddled, so every bottle would have been turned 45 times before it was able to be disgorged. Now we do have an automated riddling rack, so 12 to 18 hours, and they're inverted and ready for disgorging.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Riddlers in Champagne were the highest paid people in the wine business for many, many decades. And they were also people whose wrists fell apart and whose fingers were crippled. They were an interesting group of guys. And when they went on strike, it was a big deal.
Yeah. I can't imagine a day's worth of riddling, let alone a career in it.
Yeah. 40, I think they did 40,000 bottles a day, something like that, 45,000 turns.
Wow.
So
before work safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, 100 feet below the ground, too, in a damp cave. Spoken like, as a general manager, you need to worry about all that stuff now.
Yeah, we've automated it. We've got the safety systems in place. There's a horn that lets you know when it's about to riddle.
Let's talk about Pinot Noir. You brought a Pinot Noir. The island has sort of hung its hat on Pinot, and we've seen some brilliant releases already. What do you think about this grape and how it works here on Vancouver Island?
Yeah, I think the Pinot is definitely the future, and we're all going down that road. It ripens beautifully here. You get a long maturation on the vine. It's a delicate wine here. It's a bit of a softer Pinot. Lots of depth, lots of character, and very age worthy. I think we've got some brilliant vintages that we can tap into a bit later, but they age really well, and they show. You know, this is our first inaugural reserve that we've released, and we're pretty excited about it.
I know it's not easy when many have come before you in other regions, but do you think, like, for instance, people talk about Burgundian wines, they talk about Oregon Pinot. Will we be able to talk about Cowichan Pinot and have it mean something?
You know, I would love for that to be the case. I think we're in a position where we're always trailing after giants, like you're sort of saying. And we're trying to also be unique within that. We don't want to necessarily suggest that we're Oregonian. But you can't deny that there's a parallel viticulturally between the two regions. When you walk the vineyards in Oregon and you see the big old mossy heads and a very similar maturation to the vineyards and the vigor in the vines, there's something paralleled here on the island that we definitely have.
Yeah. Maybe closer to that than any other region.
Yeah, I would say.
But Cowichan, in the end, I think we just have to keep repeating that name.
Yeah.
And, tying it to the Pinot till people catch on.
And do you know where the origin of that name comes from?
Yes.
It's the Coast Salish name for the warm land.
Yeah.
And so here we are in, the Pacific Northwest in a region that's known colloquially as the warm land, and we're growing grapes, which kind of pans out. Makes sense.
Yeah, on the dry side of the island.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, this wine is delicious. Now, this wine is the 2021 Reserve. Is it actually been released now?
Or? It has been released. It's currently for sale online and in our tasting room. A few by the glass accounts as well, by the bottle accounts in Tofino.
Yeah. Nice looking package, and I really like the capsule. I don't know if that's new or not, but for me, it seems...
That's definitely a touch of the new packaging for the Reserve tier. So that's the feather pattern from the blue grouse itself.
It's very elegant wine, though. Yeah. I just love the way it has a lot of intensity of flavor, but it's airy. It's right. Ethereal. So it's really perfectly Pinot. Okay, just before you go, what's happening at Blue Grouse for the season? Are you open? When can people visit? How does that work? Do they need rezos?
Rezos are always appreciated. It can be a pretty busy place, especially in the summer. We're opening 7 days a week, starting May 20th. And in June, we're actually kicking off a sparkling celebration. So we're partnering with Unsworth to promote sparkling from Vancouver Island. So yes, Pinot is a big thing, but sparkling is also something we're doing incredibly well here on the island. And so we're celebrating sparkling all summer long. Blue Grouse will have a pairing menu that goes along with three different sparkling wines. It's available as an exclusive tasting. The chef at Unsworth is actually preparing our bites that go along with our sparkling wines. Hmm. And there's a bit of an added experience there to come visit us for.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Michael. Always great to catch up with you.
Likewise.
Nice. You have a nice new job. Congratulations.
Cheers.
Keep working. That was Michael Abbott. He's the general manager, Blue Grouse Estate Winery. We're coming to you from Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Up next, general manager Lauren Inglis of Enrico Winery. He returns to discuss why you should consider visiting the Cowichan and environs this summer. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more still to come from Enrico Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Diora, the culmination of a more than 30-year vineyard-to-bottle journey in the Santa Lucia Highlands and the family-owned San Bernabe Estate in Monterey, California. Diora's fruit from their vineyard flourishes in the radiant Monterey midday sun, while refreshing breezes coax the complex flavors found in every drop. Diora, indulgence begins in the vineyard, now available at select liquor stores across BC. Find out more at diorawines.com.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A perfect place for a spring road trip. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or our 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic, locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing spring getaway. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and highway conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Many people ask me which wines they should buy. My first question is, what do you like? Because when I know what they prefer, I can nudge them left or right to something similar, but often better at the same price. But if you don't like the wine, nothing I can say will change your mind. Taste is a personal thing, so ultimately, it's up to you to find a wine writer who aligns with your taste and start from there. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit my website, gismondionwine.com, to find out if we can agree on something to drink tonight.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape from Enrico Winery. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across British Columbia on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're coming to you today from Enrico Winery. Our guest is the general manager, Lauren Inglis. Lauren, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
I always like to catch up with you to talk about the Cowichan, because you're like a rare species, because you were born and raised here.
Yeah, I'm rare, all right.
Yeah.
there's no doubt about that. The Cowichan is just, it's unique. It's a place that you have to experience. You have to come here to truly see what the Cowichan's all about.
Yeah.
And it's everything from the ocean, of course, to the lakes, to the rivers. you know, golfing, fishing, swimming, boating, name it.
Well, we're here in Mill Bay. Where did you grow up? How far away were you from here?
Not far. Shawnigan Lake, actually.
Shawnigan Lake?
Yeah, good old Shawnigan Lake, wow. Which is a stone's throw from where we're sitting.
Yeah. It's kind of a famous place for many reasons.
Probably more famous after I moved out, but it is. It's a great spot.
That's a good, nice place to hang out in the summertime.
Yeah, Shawnigan Lake's beautiful. I mean, it's a smaller little village. We've got the lake there, of course, and summertime, more and more people come in, of course, because there's a lot of cabins and cottages on the lake still.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people come to the couch, and they could, it might be a good idea to stay here for 2 or 3 days or 4 days and then sort of plan all, visiting whatever from wineries all across to many different agricultural products here.
There's everything you can do here. Everything from, of course, wineries, as you said, there's breweries or cideries, there's distilleries now.
Yeah.
And lots of accommodations all the way through the place. So you can start up at the Malahat, right at the very top of the hat coming down into Mill Bay, of course. You can stay up there. You can stay in Cowichan Bay.
Yeah.
There's B&Bs all through the entire valley as well.
Yeah.
So it's every, for accommodation-wise, everything.
It's almost equidistance, too. If you're coming from the lower mainland, you can come out of Horseshoe Bay and come down, or you can go across at Swanson to Brentwood Bay and then just drive up. It's almost equal either way.
There's a lot of people that actually do the bike tour, the pedal bike tour, and that's what they'll do from Vancouver to come over, and they'll spend 3 days over here. And
those are young people, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot younger than us, that's for sure.
Do the Malahat.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to because they take the ferry across.
Oh, right on.
So, you know, there's everything you can do. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what you can do with wine specifically, because you guys have a great program that you launch August, right?
Yeah. So August is going to be, the entire month of August is going to be the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. Program is going to be very similar to last year. We've got a small passport program on that, and the passport basically is just giving you a map on where to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be at least 13 wineries involved in it this year. And it's going to be, like I said, for the entire month. And I think that's really important because it gives people the opportunity then to plan for it as opposed to just having it on a weekend.
And why do they have this passport then? Does that get stamped or something?
It does eventually get stamped, but I mean, it doesn't have to get stamped. But some people are adamant that they want to see a stamp on every winery on it. And then there's a prize at the end of that.
Aha, there is a prize.
There's always going to be a prize. So 14 bottles of wine or 13 bottles of
wine
in this case.
Weekend at Shawnigan Lake with Lauren.
With Lauren,
Or right on.
Whatever.
You know all the hot spots there.
I can tour you around and show you everything.
But 13 wineries, that's a good number.
It is a really good number, yeah. We actually have 14 in the valley, but unfortunately one of them won't be participating this year. But 13 is a good number.
Yeah.
You know, you can go around, like I said, and the glory of doing it over the month is so you can break it up. You don't have to try to push it all into one weekend.
Yeah. And it's not like, of course, it's not like Napa, it's like Cowichan, but the wineries are quite different. You're going to have 13 pretty unique experiences. They're all very different.
Every winery in the valley is different.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing about coming here. The wines are going to be different. The people are different. Atmosphere is going to be different. Some of the wineries will have events going on as well. So, I mean, you'll have the opportunity to experience that.
Mm-hmm. So. And here, well, obviously, if people come by here to Enrico,
we're closing for the month of August, so we're actually not going to be open. So we're the one
that's
that isn't taking participation.
Right.
No, we're going to be open, of course, and we're going to be doing our live music program all the way through August.
Yeah.
So it's great.
So live music, are you involved in selecting the people that come, or how does that
work?
Well,
I bring in different bands, and I do most of the singing. It's not always that good, but it's fun.
See what I mean, folks? It's very unique.
Yeah.
Winery.
So, no, we do bring in different bands.
Yeah.
And they come from all over Canada, and we're trying to get a couple up from the States right now as well.
Yeah. This is a great place to hang out. You've got the pond, the outdoor patio, food, bites for people to eat.
Small bites. And, you've got the deck and the patio, like you said, overlooking the vineyard. The pond's right there. It's just, it's a really comfortable, relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah. You used to have a sign out there that said you had to drink between the lines or something. or you couldn't drink on the patio. That's all changed.
So when COVID hit, we had a thing that was referred to as a TESA. It's a temporary expansion area for service. And now they're eliminating that. So now you're able to drink into the areas where you weren't allowed before.
Yeah.
So we can serve in almost all areas of the winery now.
Our guest is Lauren Inglis. He's the general manager here at Enrico. Lauren, give us three or four things, not wine related, that people could do here in the valley that For instance, I've heard a lot about whale watching. Is that a real thing?
It is a real thing. There's lots of whale watching here. Boating is incredibly popular in the valley. We have numerous marinas around. You can go golfing, of course. You can go hiking on the trails. We've got the Kinsel Trestle. It's endless. Like, you can come here. Most people who come here want to move here because it's that spot. It's a special spot.
You're not far from the Skywalk.
Skywalk.
Have you been up there?
I have.
You run up and down that every day early? Or?
Yeah, and you can tell by my condition. No, we've been up there numerous times. It's absolutely stunning. The view, it's actually shocking because when you're on the highway, you think you've seen it.
Yeah.
But when you actually go to the top of the Skywalk and see the view, it is absolutely amazing.
Which, I'm joking, it's a very moderate walk to the top.
It
easy
is.
To do.
And then you've got the slide to come down.
Have you slid down there?
I did, yes.
You have. I knew you would have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they don't. Of course, the slide's there. You got to try it. You know?
That's kind of good. What about further up north, like to Duncan and those kind of areas? There's plenty to do.
I mean, of course, you go into Duncan. They have the weekend market, which is super popular, and you've got the Totem Walk. I mean, there's just no end of things to do. You can go bungee jumping. You can go on the bungee swing even farther up Highland a little bit, and it's just the whole area, the whole valley is just a, you know, plethora of fun.
Would you say it was like this when you were a kid, or has it really developed over the time to have all of these different attractions?
No, I think everything was always here. It was just not developed the way it is now. I mean, the outdoor programs are probably even better than they are now, just because we'd go out on our own and investigate and do it. But, you know, you still got the lake and the ocean, like I said, and that's where a lot of people spend their time, is on the water, because we're surrounded by it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super important.
Yeah. Well, it's really a must stop for people now. It should be on your visitors list, and you would say 2 or 3, 4 days, something like that.
I would say three or four days minimum.
Yeah.
You're going to get sort of catch a little bit of the edge of all of it. But I mean, the more time you can spend here, the better off you are.
Because there's a lot of farms here too. Like you can go and visit farms. For people who want to do that, people can play golf.
Yep.
You can split up.
Yeah, there's
because golfers and farmers are different people.
They are. But we have golf. There's two golf courses right close to us right here. But you're right about all the farms, and you can go to the farms, and a lot of them have got tours on the farms as well. There's a tea farm up the road.
Yeah.
There's anything to do with the nature of what's going on in the Cowichan Valley is accessible.
And the Cowichan actually was recognized by Italy's very famous slow food program. It's probably 10 or 15 years now that's happened. This was a serious recognition for this area at a very young time.
Yes, and I mean, there's more and more recognition coming on the valley, and more people that are coming here, and we're getting repeat people coming back all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is once you experience it, it gets into your blood.
Okay, well, you're the president this year of the festival, so it better really hum in August.
Well, it always does.
Yeah.
So I am the president of the Cowichan Winery Society.
And for our listeners then, if they want to go, when should they? They can go online when, and when can they get a ticket perhaps?
Tickets are going to go on sale in July.
Okay.
And early July.
Yeah.
And get everything ready and, you know, plan your hotel, plan your B&B, wherever you're going to stay. And
yeah.
Come and have a lot of fun in the valley.
Yeah. And plan early. Like, obviously, it's not that easy to get a room at peak time, too.
No, it isn't.
You got to plan ahead.
Plan ahead, definitely.
Right on.
For sure.
Lauren, thanks so much.
My absolute pleasure.
Yeah. That was Lauren Inglis. He's the general manager of Enrico Winery. And that's it for today's show. Special thanks to our hosts, Enrico Winery, and our production team, including on-site producer Mike Whittingham, studio producer Dwayne Bishop, assignment producer Sherry Caleb, and director of operations Stu Ferguson. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Thanks to all of you for listening to the show and for joining us today. We'll be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Until then, enjoy your weekend and the week ahead.
That's it for today's show from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape from Enrico Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.